Greetings, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and you're listening to Fat Guys at the Movies. And this week we've got all kinds of fun stuff to talk about.
You always say that with such conviction. As
I'm
if you've
so excited about Tyler Perry movies.
You are? No, you're not.
Not really.
No, you're not.
Well, I didn't see it.
How many Tyler Perry movies have you seen in your life?
Actually, I've abstained completely from the Tyler Perry catalog.
You racist.
I'm not. It's not a racist thing.
It's totally a racist
thing. They don't screen it for white movie critics like myself.
Oh, wow. They screen his first two movies, I think.
I don't think I was doing film reviews back then.
That's right. You were.
But it was like. Since I started, they've screened nothing. So.
Well, with the exception of Daddy's Little Girls, Everything has done well enough that they don't. That they've kind of felt like they didn't need to. And I think Lionsgate has had so many crappy movies that get released that tend to do well, even though they don't screen them. Stuff like, I don't know. All the Saw movies, which actually I like the Saw movies, but
yeah,
there's been a lot of Lionsgate movies that have been screened, and then they screen something like Disaster Movie,
and it tanks
worse than anything else. And
that
you know,
wasn't our fault.
There's some executive there going, "Oh, that's probably because we screened that for critics, and they told people it was terrible."
Yeah, so. Well, it was terrible. But anyways, I honestly the Tyler Perry movies just kind of fall off my radar
because you're a racist.
I don't ever get back to them
because you're a racist.
I would like to see some someday.
Uh-huh.
But we'll see.
Dude, you got a TV the size of a window.
But I'm busy watching all the Judd Apatow movies.
You're looking at Peter Seagal's
Wang.
Anyways,
before we get into the movies, though, let's talk about where you can get a hold of us. Mm. You can head over to fatguysatthemovies.com. You can also go to iTunes and search Fat Guys at the Movies in the iTunes store, and we pop right up. You can email us. fatguys@filmschoolrejects.com, or you can leave us a voicemail, area code 614-388-8735. And we did get an email this week. We're going to read that later on.
Awesome. Did we get a voicemail? You didn't check, even though before the show I say, can you check the voicemail? Let me guess, you didn't check, did you?
I can check it right now.
No,
actually,
you don't need to check it right now. Just do your due diligence and actually check the email.
While we're reviewing the women... Okay. I'll look to see if there are any.
Oh, okay. Well, since you mentioned it, and now you've let the cat out of the bag as to the first movie we're going to talk about.
Oh, yeah. I didn't... Spoiler alert.
Yeah, everyone
Meg
was
Ryan's
all concerned.
Got a new movie coming out.
Yes, her and a new face. It has a new movie coming out. It's The Women. A group of women rally around their friend who is the last to learn her husband is having an affair.
Edie, I wasn't going to say anything, but Mary is like my sister. This is in the vault, right? Steven is having an affair.
Oh my God!
Get out of here.
He's fooling around with some woman who works behind the perfume counter.
The spritzer girl?
Yeah, can you believe that?
Mary, there's a reason why we are all here with you today.
Oh, is this about the perfume bitch?
Oh! You knew and you didn't tell me?
I don't know a whole lot about this movie. Apparently it's a remake. And it's directed by the woman who did Murphy Brown.
I heard something about it though.
What?
I don't know where I heard this, so I'm not gonna credit it to anyone. But somebody
who the hell's
joking
talking
around,
about the women anyways? I mean,
they were
where do you overhear anything?
They
about
were like
the
they called it the women because the vagina monologues was taken.
Okay.
It's supposed to be a joke about the fact that it's an all female
cast. Is this why you're not attributing it to anybody to save them face for having such a terrible joke?
Yeah. I didn't come up with it.
No.
By the way.
Well, yeah, see, now you're just running from running from ownership of this bed.
But I will say that it says something when all of these names get into a movie together. Meg Ryan, who's okay, but Annette Bening and Bette Midler, and Candice Bergen, and Carrie Fisher, and Cloris Leachman.
Well, in the defense
that's
of
a lot.
In the defense of sanity, a lot of these women really haven't done a whole lot lately.
Yeah,
I mean, Annette Bening has a career, but what was the last significant movie she was in?
I don't. You know who else is in the cast that hasn't done like anything lately? Two people, actually.
Eva Mendes, who looks ridiculously hot.
Eva Mendes is. I mean, she's in all kinds of stuff.
Deborah Messing.
No, Debbie Mazar. I haven't seen her in a while. Yeah. Also, even more obscure, Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live.
Wow.
I've looked down
she's
this entire
around?
Cast. There's no men.
I thought she was kidnapped and sold into slavery in Sri Lanka.
Yeah, seriously.
Or something like that.
So, just the weirdest.
The thing is, they actually screened it, and for some reason, I wasn't put on the invite list. And I think it's a glitch. I really think that the rep has an old list that keeps repolluting her email.
Either that or she knew. But she knew one of two things. She knew, one, that I wouldn't show up to it.
Which is why you got invited.
Which is why I got invited. And she knew that you probably would show up, therefore you didn't get invited.
I would have shown up, and I'm telling you from the trailer, this to me, even though they did screen it, I still have to say it's probably going to suck. What's funny about it is it was shelved. It was done, like, I don't know, last year sometime?
7 years ago.
And they shelved, was it 7 years?
No,
it wasn't 7 years. That's not true. It was done a while ago. It was done a year or so ago, and they shelved it and finally took it off to release after Sex and the City did well.
Right, because this is so much like Sex and the City.
Well, they're like, oh, you can have a movie about women. Here's the deal. You know, if you're married to Meg Ryan and you get an opportunity to boink Eva Mendes...
It's a tough one.
Dude, I'd go for it.
I wouldn't recommend it, though.
I would. I don't know
if it's worth it.
If you're married to Meg Ryan. I mean, I wouldn't
Meg
do
Ryan's
it.
Hot.
Her face is all stretched like
no
a drum.
Way. She's hot, man.
Not as
in
hot
the Land
as
of Women, she was hot in that, even when she had like the cancer.
In the Land of
baldness.
Women? Oh, my. Yeah. She looked like she was from another country. Her face was all screwed up.
No, I liked it.
Yeah.
I'm down with that.
That's great.
She's Kristen Stewart's mom in that movie.
Kristen Stewart's better looking than.
I don't know.
I mean, she. I used to think she looked kind of weird and dorky in movies like, you know, Catch That Kid and what was she in, that awful movie with Dennis Quaid and Sharon Stone, Cold Creek Manor. But she's really blossomed. She's a good looking girl.
What bad movie has Sharon Stone not been in?
A disaster movie.
Anyways, moving on, we got another movie to talk about. We can't preemptively suck the women. But
we can totally preemptively suck the Family That Prays.
But yes, we can absolutely do that to this next movie, which is Tyler Perry's The Family That Prays. Two girlhood friends watch as their family struggle with sex, love, and money.
What are your plans after graduation?
Looking for a job, I guess.
Give me a call. I'm sure we can find a position for you.
William, meet Ms. Abigail Dexter. Do you think she can take this company global?
I thought you were considering me for that position.
Why on earth would you think that?
Because I'm your son.
I was thinking about starting my own construction company.
What you need me for?
A little bit more faith, brother.
You don't trust me.
It's not you I don't trust, darling. It's your private thoughts that give me pause.
It is sisters like you that give us all a bad name.
What's so funny is, here's my theory behind this movie. Tyler Perry has gotten a lot of criticism for making movies that show the, you know, African American men in bad light as cheating husbands and unsavory dudes. So he made a movie where the cheating husband and unsavory dude is a white guy.
Right. And he's B movie actor Cole Hauser.
Cole Hauser.
Big time.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe if Eva Mendes was in this movie as the cheating wife, that would be even better. But this looks like, I don't know. You know, it's probably going to make a lot of money because his movies almost always do.
Right.
But this looks like
top the box office, I'm sure.
I don't know.
It's a rough week.
I don't know.
Anyways, as I said before we prepared, any movie that has Kathy Bates in it has the potential to have a Kathy Bates nude scene in it, and I'm just not going to risk it.
Kathy Bates nude and Cole Hauser's junk.
Yeah. So this one does get a preemptive suck, though, because they definitely didn't screen it. Lionsgate is afraid of what these
racist film critics will
critics
say
in the Midwest will say about it. But anyways, when we come back, we got to go to a break. But when we come back, we got Righteous Kill and Burn After Reading, two movies that we actually did see.
Yeah, and maybe we'll check the voicemail.
And we're back, and while we were on the break there, we checked our voicemail, and apparently we have an appointment at the VA Medical Center.
Yeah, don't know what happened there.
That's really weird.
it's literally, I don't know whether it's a phishing email or a phishing voicemail where you're supposed to call back and give your social security number or whatever.
Maybe.
Which it could be.
We don't have one, though. The show doesn't have one.
I mean, you do. If you want to go give your personal credit information,
it's like five.
Five? Yeah. You're that old.
I am.
Well, you know, and it's also like, I think we had a voicemail there from some guy whose father used to be the president of the bank in Uganda and had $250 million he needed to launder.
You know, people offer us that kind of money all the time, but I always turn it down because I don't want to pay the taxes.
Okay.
So
we did get an email.
We did get an email. We're gonna read that later.
We'll read that later
in the internet only segment because there's lots of cursing in it. That's not true.
There is.
But anyways, before we get to that, let's talk about some more movies. We got two more to get through on this beautiful release laden weekend. It feels like almost as if we went on vacation last week and then a holy storm of movies came.
I wouldn't call this a holy storm of movies. Yeah. Maybe a storm of holy, well, something else.
Yeah.
But we only had one movie opening last week. They didn't screen for us.
Right.
Again, Lionsgate. But you know what? They didn't screen it, and it like won the weekend.
With like $4 million. It made $40 at the box office.
It's sort of like won the weekend. Like, I won't even say that's way too offensive what I was going to say.
By default.
Should I say what was really offensive?
No.
I'll wait till the end. Remind me on the internet only. I don't want to offend anybody.
Hey, what was that offensive thing you were going to say that you wanted to say earlier?
But there's a line from Leatherheads where she said being the best football player in whatever is like being the world's tallest midget.
Oh.
That's sort of like Bangkok Dangerous winning the weekend.
Right. Fair enough. Anyways, moving on to more stuff that's coming out this week. First up in our second segment here, we've got Righteous Kill, which stars Robert De Niro and Al Pacino as veteran cops trying to track down a serial killer who just happens to be murdering bad guys.
You don't become a cop because you want to serve and protect. Anybody who believes that's an idiot. You do it because you get respect, because they let you carry a gun and a badge. Most people respect the badge. Everybody respects the gun. Please allow me to introduce
myself. I'm a man of work. Who do you get this time?
Jonathan Van Leighton. Was up on rape charges, but he got tossed out last week.
Looks like you had a beef with our old pal Johnny.
And this one we both saw. And it's
not together.
Not
together.
Not directly. But it's written by the same guy who wrote Inside Man, Russell Gewirtz. And you would know that without having me tell you that within probably the first half an hour of this movie, because it kind of
If you pay that much attention,
yeah. It uses the same device as Inside Man, where it starts with guy talking into a camera and it kind of works its way back and there's a big twist at the end. And we knew that there was going to be a big twist at the end going into it because we were told that that's why they were screening it so late in the week, was there's a big twist and they don't want someone like one of the two of us with huge mouths to come out and say the big twist at the end.
Even though we never have.
We wouldn't do that.
The only thing I did was I gave away the fate of Toothface like last week.
Oh, right. But, you know, whatever. If you haven't seen Batman by now.
Yeah, I mean, the movie's made $500 million.
Dollars. You know. And so we knew there was a big twist at the end, but I will say this, because I always, when a publicist tells me that there's like a huge deal to the ending of a movie, I get excited because I love those kind of movies. This one was very disappointing. It was really kind of exactly what you would expect it to be coming down the home stretch.
The reality is, usually, no matter what, if they're holding off screenings of movies, there's a reason.
Absolutely.
They either don't think they need any press,
mm-hmm.
like the Saw movies, for example.
Or Tyler Perry's movies.
Or the movie's bad. Right. And actually, I have to say, Righteous Kill wasn't awful. I mean, it kept me entertained. I was interested in it. I watched the movie. You know,
I expected it to be a lot better, but we reviewed 88 Minutes, which is the same director, John Avnet.
Oh, this thing's 9 million times better than 88
Minutes. It felt a little bit too similar to it, and it really felt like this movie. The difference was this movie felt so cool, as if the movie itself was aware that it was so cool because Robert De Niro and Al Pacino got to just sit there and have all their cool little lines.
Now, how many times have
really
they ever
obsessed
like
with that?
Shared the screen? Is that it? Was just Godfather?
It was.
Yeah,
and I don't
Heat?
Even think
were
they shared
both
the
in
screen
Heat?
In Godfather.
Well, they were both in Godfather.
They were both
too.
In Heat.
They're in Heat. That sounds bad.
No, but they were both in the movie.
Are you allowed to say that Robert De Niro and Al Pacino
were in Heat? Well, they're in the twilight years of their lives at this point. So
well, that's what's so funny is they're both
appreciate
like
that.
You know, 88 years old.
And there was the whole running joke throughout the whole movie about them being old, and it just didn't work. The movie felt like it just kind of lumbered around feeling really good about itself and then didn't resolve itself in any creative manner. Yeah. So
I thought it was creative, but it wasn't the greatest It wasn't, I saw it coming like from 10 minutes into the movie.
Right.
Yeah. So, I mean, but then again, I predicted the ending of 21. And, right.
And that was, and I know some people were that,
totally
better twist than this. I don't know. It was just kind of disappointing. It's not,
it wasn't great, but wasn't, you know, if you love Robert De Niro and Al Pacino, yeah, you're going to love this movie.
Yeah.
I think so. It wasn't awful. To me, it really didn't feel like a waste. It just wasn't. It reminds me a lot of Traitor a couple weeks ago with Don Cheadle, where I'm like, good actors in it, and it had all the elements that you'd expect from a movie like that.
And
but
it just
kind
of played out exactly like you thought it was going to.
Yeah, and it wasn't that great, but it's still, you know, if you're dying for a movie, this,
which you might be at this point.
You know.
So I'm going with Kind of Sucks because I was really let down.
You know what? I'm going to just say Kind of Rocks to disagree with you.
Fair enough.
Since I've heard that people like that.
Fair enough. Moving on.
Oh, okay. You want me to take this one?
Sure, why not?
Burn After Reading, this is the Coen brothers in their follow-up to No Country for Old Men, in which a group of dim-witted gym workers attempt to blackmail a former CIA middleman.
Midola found like this CD just lying in a locker.
On the floor there?
Yeah, and it's these files, man.
I'm not comfortable with this.
It was just lying there.
You should put up a note in the ladies' locker room.
Put up a note? Hello? Did anybody lose their secret CIA stuff? I don't think so.
Osborne. Osborne Cox. Who am I speaking to? What you're engaged in is blackmail.
I'm a mere good Samaritan.
Who... Give me the CD or bust the money!
So?
Well,
what'd you think, Neil?
Here's the deal with this one. I was anticipating this movie greatly because the Coen brothers, I liked No Country for Old Men, but I prefer their stuff like Fargo and The Big Lebowski. And I really... Are you making noises with your beer bottles?
No, that was a... We're doing a show live from Maine.
Oh, fair enough.
There's lobster fishing.
That's very magical.
That's what the magical studio of the sky does. It's like the Cosmos ship from the 70s. It just go places.
Transport to wherever we need to be. But I was really excited about this movie, and I liked it. But I still, it was still kind of a just okay feeling. It was kind of a letdown in the sense that, I don't know, I maybe expected it to be a lot better than it was. It's the victim of high expectations. But it's very funny, and it has, you know, very similar to what we talk about, Righteous Kill. Really great cast, and it's got this really twisted sense of humor to it.
Brad Pitt was amazing in it.
Brad Pitt's hilarious. So,
and Frances McDormand did pretty good too. I mean, it's a great cast.
I thought the performances were all on. It was very funny at times, and it's worth going to see. It just, you know, it felt like the vacation movie. It felt like the Coen brothers worked so hard and put so much effort into No Country, and then they just kind of got together with all these really talented people on a weekend and said, nah, let's do this other movie. Why not?
This is my thought on it. It reminds me of the Big Lebowski, because they did Fargo, and Fargo was so flippin' awesome.
Right.
And then they followed up with the Big Lebowski, and when you saw the Big Lebowski, I mean, I don't know if you saw this because you were probably too young. You didn't see this when it was out. But to then go watch the Big Lebowski, and you're just like, that was okay, but it was no Fargo. And then later on, you watch The Big Lebowski another time or two, and you're like, no, this is really a good movie, and I enjoyed it. But as being a follow-up to such an awesome film, you know, it was...
It's tough to take.
It's very hard. And it's really hard to live up to No Country for Old Men, which won the Academy Award and was an awesome movie and probably one of their best since Fargo, at least. Mm-hmm. So this one, it did sort of leave me lacking a bit, but I'll tell you, I've watched the trailer since, and I'm like, you know, I kind of want to see that movie again. I kind of have to re-experience it, because the tone of the movie isn't exactly the tone of the trailer. It wasn't what I was expecting.
Right. The trailer's a lot goofier than the movie itself.
Yeah, and the movie has goofy moments, but it has these dark, heavier moments.
Mm-hmm.
And
it really feels like a twisted movie. It's very twisted.
I guess I kind of just didn't quite... Because the thing is, the trailer starts with everybody in the gym, and they don't even get introduced until like 15, 20 minutes into the movie.
Mm-hmm.
So... You're starting with a totally different tone.
Right.
So, and then it has John Malkovich playing John Malkovich.
Which is always good.
He plays John Malkovich in everything. I would love to see John Malkovich do like Capote and just be John Malkovich with masks.
Yeah. Nice. So. All right, cool. Well, I'm giving it a Kind of Rocks because I liked it.
I think I'm going to agree with you there, Neil. Kind of Rocks.
We'll be back in a minute.
We'll be right back.
10 miles of hard road, 33 years of tough luck, 44 skulls buried in the ground, crawling down through the muck. Oh, yeah.
And we're back. We're rolling right on through. We got those four movies out of the way, which is fun. We're still in Maine, apparently. But now we move on to our independent spotlight, the Indie Spotlight for short.
That's a great title for an independent spotlight.
Yep, faux show. And this week it's Towelhead, which is a very offensively titled film.
Is that any similarity to Baghead?
No. Baghead is about a killer with a bag on its head.
What about?
This is about a young
Towelhead girl,
Arab American girl, who's struggling with her sexual obsession.
Is that anything like Beavis and Towelhead?
No. Really?
Yeah.
Beavis and Towelhead?
Didn't they make a movie of that? Beavis and Towelhead to America?
Nope. But this movie is all about... one of the Sundance movies.
Allah Akbar.
What are you talking about?
That was my Beavis and Towelhead impersonation. I just wanted to offend somebody.
You definitely did. Now, you know, we're probably going to get murdered. Because that... No. I tell you
what.
You Anyways,
think, now you're being offensive. Now you're assuming that
Someone's
every
gonna
Arab American is going to blow us up because I mean,
I'm not saying every. All it takes is one.
It's not so. Like we show a picture. Can we get a picture of Muhammad and put him on the website?
No, we're not.
Is that going to cause problems?
It's not going to happen.
Did you ever see? Was it South Park that did that? It was South Park that they put. I've been watching South
Family
Park
Guy. Right? That they said that Family Guy was going to show it.
Was going to show Muhammad. Yeah. What's the deal? Is it just Muhammad is?
I don't know.
Why is Muhammad not allowed to show
his
face?
I don't know. I really don't. I don't want to comment because I don't know enough about it.
You look like a terrorist, though.
I don't anymore. I got my hair cut this week.
Well, you still look like a terrorist.
Anyways.
Maybe it's because you're wearing that big, I don't know, machine gun vest.
Anyways, Towelhead is about a young Arab American girl who struggles with her sexual obsession, and she moves in with her father, who's kind of a strict fundamentalist type. Her father also has this crazy neighbor who is played by Aaron Eckhart.
Wacky neighbor played by Knott.
He's an army reservist slash kid toucher slash bigot.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's pretty crazy.
That's kind of offensive, actually. Pretty offensive. They could have called it redneck rapist.
And it's set during the Gulf War. And it's written and directed by Alan Ball, who wrote, American Beauty and produced 6 Feet Under. It's very twisted movie, and it's a very dark comedy. Like, there is a lot that's very funny about it, but it does deal with a lot of those very sensitive racial and sexual issues of her growing up and trying to come to terms with, you know, what's happening to her, but also being very...
Wait, you mean when what's happening to her,
she's
getting interested
going through
in
puberty and stuff like that.
She's getting boobies.
Sure. And I personally, that's
what happens when you go through period. You've got them.
Wow. when I saw it at Sundance, it's a very, very dark and very interesting movie. And it has that same kind of vibe, as that same uncomfortable vibe as American Beauty, which I thought was very interesting. Mm. So it's definitely worth going to see if you're in New York or LA and you're not offended by the word towelhead being the title.
Yeah, people are actually offended by the title.
I don't know why, because the book that it's based on was titled Towelhead. And originally the movie was titled Nothing is Private. And then it played at Toronto and it got really bad reviews.
So they literally just changed the name.
They changed the title, brought it to Sundance, and it got a lot of great reviews. So who knows?
It just shows that those indie film elitists love offensive titles.
I will agree with that. I love offensive titles.
What title would you like to see of a movie? You say you love offensive title. What title?
I don't know. I don't think this is the place or
time. Yes, it is. It is totally the place to talk about this. What would your favorite?
I don't know.
What title do you want to see? What?
I don't think that there's anything that could offend me.
What minority group have we not offended this year that we need to offend?
I don't know. White people?
Oh, yeah. We've totally offended white people.
How's that possible? There's no way we've offended white people yet.
Sure.
No way. No way.
This movie has the rapist child molesting redneck in it. That's offensive.
Really?
Don't you think so?
No.
Religious is coming out. Isn't that offensive to...
That's not offensive to white people.
That's offensive to
religious people.
Yeah, it's, Christian.
That's offensive to people who don't like Bill Maher.
Well, Bill Maher's...
And that's
maybe,
it.
Anyways.
But I like Bill Maher.
Bill Maher's like a bitter little guy who's just mad because he's white and he wants to be black.
I don't think that's true.
That is totally true.
I really highly doubt that that's why Bill Maher is the way he is. But I
heard
he was going to
get. I heard he's going to get that pigment surgery that Robert Downey Jr. had.
I doubt it. What are we even talking about at this point?
Towelhead.
No, we're not. We're totally talking about Bill Maher.
Well, yeah, and his
that movie came out. That's an indie spotlight title.
What, Religious?
Yeah.
No, that doesn't come out yet.
It came out in New York and LA already. So they just slipped it in there.
As it just completely took the world by storm.
Yeah, it played at Toronto to some decent reviews, anyways.
Just because it's in a film festival doesn't mean anyone's going to go see it, a la Hamlet 2, which was a good movie, and nobody saw it.
A very good movie. So, anyways, let's move on to box office.
No, let's talk more about offensive things.
I don't have any more offensive things to say.
Okay.
I don't, you know, honestly, I can't think of something that offends me, so I'm not really the expert on offensive.
No, you know what offends you is when people, like, make fun of your website. Yeah. You're like Captain Kirk. You're like Scotty in the Tribbles episode.
Yeah, not really, though.
Absolutely.
Somebody could make a movie, though, that says Film School Rejects sucks.
Well, you just like the fact that they put Film School Rejects.
They're totally advertising.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, I've literally seen you go get all ballistic when somebody, like, challenges your website. Like I said, you're like Scotty. Have you seen the Tribbles episode?
It's only with publicists. When publicists, like, treat us like.
Or if
the lady who asked me if I just made that. This is a funny story, actually. Went to a screening of 88 Minutes. Oddly enough, which was directed by John Avnet, who just pooped out Righteous Kill. And
Towelhead.
No, that was Alan Ball.
Did he have nothing to do with Towelhead?
Nothing to do with Towelhead. But I walked up the stairs into the screening and saw the one rep that I did know, and then another one who was writing down names, and she's like, "Who do you write for?" I'm like, "Film School Rejects." And she's like, "Really? Did you just make that up on the way up here?" And I looked at her and I was like, "Excuse me?" I was like, yeah, I just, you know, while I was walking, just decided that I was going to fake being press.
Yeah, but you were all enraged at that. And I saw you, like, when the guys from Strong Words sort of insulted your website, they could insult me and my children all they wanted to.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
And you were like, yeah, that's okay. And then they, like, insulted Film School Rejects, and you went nuts. And I've seen you when people have complained about the website, and they're like, back when it was, like, poorly designed, and you, like, all curled up in the fetal position and was crying. Have you seen the Tribbles episode of Star Trek?
No.
They're down on the planet. I got to explain this to you because this is totally you. You're Scotty from the Tribbles episode.
Oh, no. You've explained this to me before.
Yeah. Well, just for the listeners, because we have new listeners.
You've explained
obviously.
This on the show before.
I know, but this was like a year and a
half.
They're
really listeners.
This is for Dawn.
This
is for Dawn from California, who I don't think had started listening until just recently.
Fair enough.
With her teenage sons. But anyways, They're down, and the Enterprise crew's on leave, and their Klingons there, and Kirk's like, don't start a fight for no reason whatsoever. And the Klingons are there insulting the Enterprise crew, and they start insulting Captain Kirk and insulting this, and Scotty's like, no, you can't, no, don't start it. And then they called the Enterprise a bad name, and Scotty throws the first punch.
Right.
That's totally you at the website.
That's fair enough.
Yeah. That's what's
I'm
offensive.
Not going to disagree with you. I'm not going to try and refute that. Don't mess with my website.
Yeah.
Anyways, so box office this week, or last week, we really don't have much to say about the box office, do we?
Except how bad it was. It was the worst box office since, I think, 2003 when Dickie Roberts, former child star, led the parade.
Nice. The Dark Knight still made $5 million. Did you hear they're going to re-release that in January?
Yeah.
Already? In IMAX? Well, definitely in IMAX. They don't know about regular theaters yet, but I think that's pretty awesome.
No, that's cool.
Question
I mean, that's
is,
awesome.
I'll go see it again in IMAX.
I'm not going to go see it, but...
So...
No, but
anyways, Bangkok Dangerous, $7.7 million last weekend. Snore.
Yeah, well, you know, and the thing is, like I said, the worst since 2003, and it led with less than $8 million.
Right, which is really bad.
Terrible.
And it almost got beat by Tropic Thunder, which has been out for 5 weeks, 4 weeks.
Three or four.
This would have been its fourth weekend.
Yeah, it was three. It led three in a row. And it's to put it in perspective, it's basically made... If Bangkok Dangerous came out this weekend with those numbers, it'd probably be at 5 or 6.
Easily.
You know, that's how bad it is.
So, and then we've got, for this weekend, obviously, we've got the four movies opening up. Personally, I'm predicting Tyler Perry's movie comes out number one because I don't think there's enough. I think Burn After Reading is going to finish second. I really don't think anyone cares about Righteous Kill.
I think
not that they should.
I think that honestly, I have to say, I think it's going to be a horse race between The Family That Prays and Righteous Kill. I've seen that the tracking is that Family That Prays is going to do well, but there's all the talk of, because the last time he did a movie without Madea was Why Did I Get Married, which did well, but before that was Daddy's Little Girl. Now, the thing is, Daddy's Little Girls was much more serious. It was a much more serious story, and this one looks like it's going to be a lot more serious. But then again, Meet the Browns is a little more serious. It definitely had its comedic moments, from what I could tell from the trailers, because they didn't show that to us.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I wouldn't discount the Tyler Perry fan, although I think at some point he's going to burn himself out.
Yeah.
Because he's coming out with like 3 movies a year.
Right.
You know?
Well, I think
he's like his own version of the guys who do date movie.
Oof. But he actually has talent. I've never even seen one of his movies, and he has...
Oh, no, he has talent.
I know he has way more talent than those...
But he makes, like, the same movie with the same characters over and over again. You could watch, like, every single one of the trailers, and you'd be just like, I don't even remember who goes in what movie. Except all the white people are in The Family That Prays.
It's Kathy Bates. Of course, and Tyler Perry picks Kathy Bates and Cole Hauser to represent the white population.
And, of course, you know what's so funny about this? This is what's so hilarious about it. Just sort of, like, the racial... just sort of prejudice behind it. The story's about a poor black family and a rich white family. And I'm like, really? Are you serious? Because you know what? In all your other movies, you got all these... The only time you have the white people is when they're the rich people that are bringing down the black man. I don't know.
Agreed. I mean, that's how it is.
I guess I'd have to see the movies to really form that opinion, but that's at least what I get from the trailers.
Fair enough. What else was I going to say? I don't know. Oh, we can't discount the women.
Yes,
it's,
we can.
It's opening in 2,900 theaters. Dude. And there is a demographic out there for this movie.
Nobody cares.
I know it. Nobody it's cares. There. It's the
I will sex, be surprised.
It's the Sex and the City light.
Now, movie. You know why Sex and the City did well is because it showed an edginess to women. This is sort of like, what was it, The First Wives Club without the good buzz. So I guess it would be like being sober at a party, at a college party filled with ugly people.
So it is so interesting. I'm literally falling asleep just thinking about it.
Yeah, well, that's because you're just a terrible host.
Yeah, cool. Anyways, that's all I got. When we come back, if you're going to stick with us, now I'm previewing what's coming up in the rest of the show. If you're going to stick with us in the internet-only segment, we're going to talk about all kinds of cool trailers. And
I wouldn't say all kinds.
Just three. And if you're not, when we come back, we're going to talk about DVDs and get you wrapped up in stuff.
Are we going to talk about the Dakota Fanning movie that's finally getting released?
Hound Dog?
Yes.
I watched a trailer for that today, oddly enough.
Yeah.
I didn't see any rape scene.
Well, apparently they don't actually show the rape scene. Apparently it's just off-screen and you hear her going, no.
I'm no longer interested in it now. So... We'll discuss that when we come back.
That says so much about you.
And we're back. On the internet, at least.
We had an interesting discussion.
We did. We just talked about who would...
if we had to choose...
Between De Niro and Pacino...
And I picked De Niro. I mean, this is not me having fantasies about De Niro. Right. But if I had to choose, if somebody were like, we're going to blow up the world, and to stop it, you'd have to either bang De Niro or have them bang you.
Right.
De Niro or Pacino.
Matter. It really doesn't.
I'd pick De Niro, man.
I'd take Pacino.
He's way cooler.
No, Pacino's more charming by far.
What?
And he's better looking.
Pacino would totally scare you. If he's there on you, he'd be like, ah, yeah, well, there you go, take it. Ah. Whereas De Niro would just get that look on his face, and you could pretend it's a guy.
No, he's creepy, man. De Niro's creepy, dude.
Pacino's not?
No,
Pacino. If you walked into your house and you found somebody
Pacino's very outwardly weird,
sniffing your underwear drawer, who would you rather have that be? Way scarier if it's Pacino.
Way scarier if it's De Niro. I totally disagree. Right. But anyways... That's a discussion for a different day, I suppose.
Well, it's a discussion.
But
for
I did
today,
just
apparently.
We did just find out off the air that it's your birthday. That September 11th is your birthday.
Yes.
And this, I'm
you
sorry.
Never knew that?
That's weird, man.
Yeah, and I can attest to the fact
now
that
we know why those attacks happened.
Yeah. I was in New York.
Kevin Carr's birthday.
You?
No, I did not.
I was in New York for a film festival, and We were staying in
what film festival were you at?
It was a little weird little New York film festival in 2001, obviously, on September 11, 2001. Weird. And I had a film in there, and we were staying in New Jersey, and we're like, well, yeah, when I could pick what day my film showed.
Right.
And I picked, I said, well, I'll just pick my birthday, you know, because, you know, good luck or whatever.
Why not?
And I go, and I remember saying to everybody, we're like, well, so we were sending out press releases, and we said, well, just like, let's hope for a slow news day. And
wow,
yeah, so we were on the train going in when all the planes started hitting.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was weird. It was a weird experience.
Pretty interesting story that I did not know about you.
Yeah. And it was only last year or the year before was the first year
was the first year you realized what had happened.
Yeah, I was like, really? So that's why
this
everybody
is terrible. I feel bad. That we is should why not be making fun of this.
Everybody was like trying to cram on the trains to leave. No, but no, only a couple years ago was when I was at the bank on my birthday and they happened to notice and I noticed my birthday on like my driver's license and the guy just said happy birthday to me and didn't make some 9/11 comment.
Oh.
So it took like 4 years for that to actually.
So that's when you know that it's
people
okay
are
now.
Yeah, people are healing from this because normally they'd like, oh, you know, you'd be like if you're doing like an application or something over the phone, you're like, yeah, what's your birthday? And I'd give my birthday and there'd be this pause and they'd be like
they don't know what to say to you.
Yeah. And I'm like it's just my birthday.
Like it was your
Seriously,
birthday before that happened.
It was a crappy thing that happened to me on my birthday, but trust me, there were other people
that had it way worse.
That got it way worse.
I mean, they got their number, that number on a different certificate.
That's right.
That sucks.
That's true. It was just my
I
birthday.
Feel bad though.
Yeah. But what's funny? You know, we mentioned we did get an
yes, please. Let's
well, we got an email, but I also got an email. I got to give a shout out to Evan.
Who's Evan?
He's a guy who's he's a fan of mine, actually. He reads my stuff. Yeah, I mentioned him before.
Everybody gets one, right?
He sent me a happy birthday email. So you know, hey, thanks, man. My mom hasn't called. My mom hasn't called to wish me a happy birthday.
And it is it's getting late.
Yeah, and still my phone does not have a message. My mother-in-law called.
Oh,
but nice. Yeah, and apparently George Bush was doing a memorial about my birthday. Oh no, that was about the terrorist thing.
Wow, see that. There was a line there.
Did I just cross
and you,
that line?
And you know, I was okay. I was like, you know, we'll let him just say what he wants because it's his birthday, but might have gone over. I don't know.
Let's talk.
But we are working on offending people based on this email that I have.
Well, and we also have to talk about Dakota Fanning getting raped.
Right. There's still that. But I did want to, since you talked about that Evan guy's email, we have an email from...
I don't know how to pronounce his last name or I'd do it. I'd just butcher it.
Fair enough. We got an email from Michael in California. A lot of people in California listen to our show, which is weird. I'm told they make
which is
kind of
cool because I guess that's where Hollywood is.
Supposedly. He says, hey, Neil, love your show. Listen to it all the time. And I love how you guys always fight. And I love how you always disagree on movies. So I'm always agreeing with one of you, mostly you. That's right. He's talking to me.
He has no taste.
Your internet only segment is my favorite part. The top 10 lists are hilarious. We need to do more of those. I was just thinking of that now.
Yeah.
And you haven't offended me yet, so try harder. I hope to hear lots more of you guys in the future. There you go.
Oh, yeah. My name is Michael, and I live in California.
Yeah. Well, just I already said that his name was Michael.
Well, we're reading the whole email.
He says, I'll talk to you later.
Okay, there we go.
Anyways.
Well, we're
going to
work on offending you.
Yeah.
Michael.
Actually,
do you like Dakota Fanning?
If you're listening, Michael, we need you to send us a list of like three things that might offend you.
Yeah, give us a little
bit. And
we will
take those to the nth degree.
You know, he probably had somebody die in 9/11, so we probably already did it.
Fair enough. Yeah. That would suck. I don't want to offend anybody with that.
Okay.
There's like stuff that I'm okay offending people with. You know, like your overt racism. That's okay.
My overt racism. You're the one who won't watch Tyler Perry movies.
It's a choice that
studios make for me.
You're the
one who recommends movies called Towelhead.
You just contradicted yourself. I don't like to go see the black people movies, but I will go see the Towelhead movie.
Because it's about because it's angry.
That's not
Towelhead
true.
Language.
It's not. It's very sympathetic. It's written by an Arab American woman.
I like Bar.
What,
sorry.
Whatever.
That was my Beavis and Towhead.
See that? There you go. We are. Someone's going to call jihad on us. It's going to be bad. Anyways, we got some trailers to talk about in the Bring On the Hype segment because we don't have a list this week because we didn't come up with one because there's really nothing.
We haven't done a list in a while.
We could have done like our five favorite Coen brothers movies, but why would you want to do that? They only have like eight total.
Eight.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah.
Totally. And most of them are good. There's some of mine. You know what?
Yeah.
The only ones I didn't like.
Come up with a list of ones that you don't like.
I could name two.
Which ones don't you like?
I wasn't a huge fan of Blood Simple, even though that was our original, the first one. And then I thought Intolerable Cruelty was kind of sucky.
It was just kind of.
But they didn't write that one.
Right.
I love the Lady Killers, but nobody else did.
Lady Killers is okay. So, anyways, we got three trailers to talk about. Two of them that are gunning for Oscar, and one of them that's just about a badass spy.
And the one about a badass spy is that Jamie Foxx movie.
The first one, though, is Changeling.
He's a soloist. He's a cellist.
And he's
who
a
then
spy.
Kills people.
The first one, though, is Clint Eastwood's Changeling, starring Angelina Jolie and the guy who plays Michael Weston on Burn Notice.
Burn Notice.
That's the only way I know that.
Is it going to start? It's going to have the trailer's great because it starts off in this very moody look, and Angelina Jolie comes in, and then suddenly hear Michael Weston going in the spy game. If you've lost your son, the way you get him is you got to work out this whole scenario.
Right. But, it's a Clint Eastwood movie, so, it has a potential there, obviously.
Well, he's a good director.
He's a good director. And Angelina Jolie, for all the crazy African baby adoption and the wild jungle sex with Brad Pitt that ends up in the news, she's still a good actress. She can still lay it down when she has to.
You know what, though? It really looks like this trailer reminds me of when I saw Flight Plan with Jodie Foster. Where she's like, yes, it's Jodie Foster and I'm acting. This is my acting moment. And there are moments in there where she's just like, I am acting. You didn't see Mighty Heart. You'll see the Changeling now. It's just, it really seems like she's really, really trying to act. Or maybe it's just the
really
clips I picked.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? I don't know. It's a little early to see, but it looks like a very interesting film, visually interesting.
They also do the thing where they have it all muted, and then they have the colors popping, and like she shows up, and like everything's in black and white except her lips.
Right.
Kind of looks like, what is that Spirit movie? Directed by Frank Miller.
Which also looks like crap.
I am not sold on The Changeling yet. The other thing?
I'm not fully sold on The Changeling, but I don't know. It's interesting. Interesting enough. We'll see. Well, I guess really it's not a matter of is this going to be a decent movie. Is it going to be another Oscar contender? Because it's not. Clint Eastwood doesn't just make. He's not like the Coen brothers where he makes his Oscar contender and then he just kind of makes a fun movie that he wants. Makes them all to count.
Yeah, everyone he's gunning for the best picture. Whereas the Coen brothers, they'll do like their Fargo. And I think they just sort of swerve into the Oscar territory.
Just randomly.
Because like for them, it was like the big ones that they ever did that were serious considerations were Barton Fink, Fargo, and No Country.
Yeah.
And then the rest of their stuff is just them saying, we're making weird-ass movies.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I didn't think Million Dollar Baby was worthy of it. So,
This one looks better than Million Dollar Baby, but I've only seen a trailer. So, moving on to The Soloist, which they filmed part of it in Cleveland, and Brian Gibson went on set and talked to director Joe Wright, who did all these period pieces, Pride and Prejudice, Atonement, and this one is set in present day, which I think is an interesting change of pace for him.
You know what I think they should have done, though, in this movie?
Hmm.
If they would have had Robert Downey Jr. and Jamie Foxx switch roles.
Oh, and Robert Downey Jr. played the homeless man?
Well, in blackface.
Blackface.
And then have Jamie Foxx in whiteface.
That movie's coming out. That's going to be a parody after this. Friedberg and Seltzer are currently writing it.
Are they really?
But it won't star Robert Downey Jr.
Is it going to be better than White Chicks?
It'll probably be very similar to White Chicks. But it stars Jamie Foxx as a schizophrenic homeless man who also is an amazing cellist. And Robert Downey Jr. as an LA Times reporter who decides that he wants to write a book about him. It really feels to me like Resurrecting the Champ.
Yeah, it totally looks like a ripoff.
Without Samuel L. Jackson.
It's like Resurrecting the Champ with music instead of boxing.
You know what it is? It is Resurrecting the Champ meets August Rush.
Yeah, yes! Totally. Totally is August Rush.
But there's a lot of good buzz around this movie.
I don't know.
You know, you got two good stars. I thought that the trailer really left something to be desired because I felt like this was going to be a more serious, more, heavy film. The trailer, I didn't get that feeling. It felt kind of upbeat and...
Here's the thing with Joe Wright. He's a brilliant filmmaker, but his stuff's ultimately boring to me. Even like Atonement. Atonement, what made Atonement work was just it had that sort of raw dysfunctional sex behind it.
Mm-hmm.
And then everything else was just sort of dull.
Right.
And here, this is a true story about Pride and Prejudice. Mm-hmm. I'm a member of the Online Film Critics Society.
It made
Society.
Your ears bleed. It was so boring.
Well, it's sort of. I'm a member of the Online Film Critics Society, so I get all the award screeners, and we had the ballot, and so I looked at the ballot, and I'm like, okay, these are the movies that are up for consideration, and like Pride and Prejudice was up for 2 or 3 awards, so I'm like, I gotta watch that, and so I started watching the movie. I got about a half hour into it. I was so freaking bored, and I looked at the ballot, and I said, I'm never going to vote for Best Picture. I'm never going to vote for Keira Knightley, and I'm never going to vote for whatever the heck else this is, and I just turned it off. I was so bored with it. It wasn't even worth it to watch the entire movie to consider anything for awards, and it was just because it was boring. So, but it didn't have Robert Downey Jr. in blackface, and it didn't have...
Yeah. So, but I don't know. We'll see. That one looks okay. The movie I am excited for is this last one, because this trailer is pretty bad.
The next Not Another Teen movie?
Quantum of Solace, the next James Bond movie. And it's funny because...
James who?
When I saw Casino Royale, I was very lukewarm to it. It was a good movie, but it wasn't...
It was an awesome movie. It was one of the best Bond movies in years.
It's funny because as I started to get into some of the press notes and start to see the development of the second movie, I went back and I revisited Casino Royale, and I was like, this is a great fucking movie, man.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you.
So now I am very excited. This is easily the most anticipated movie of the rest of the year for me. Yeah. I don't care what else comes out. The Bond movie is going to be the big one. So, and both trailers, the first trailer they released and then this one, it looks like it's just going to be all kinds of fun. And I just got my copy of Empire magazine this week. Mm-hmm. It's got, you know, the big Bond spread because, you know, it's British, and it literally says the bloodiest Bond ever. Yes. And that excites me. That makes me tingle.
Okay. That's sort of creepy, but have you seen all the Bond movies?
I've seen a lot of them.
Okay. I went through this period, and it was, I think it was when Die Another Day came out, and I went back and I watched, like within the course of a month or so, watched every single Bond movie in order.
Wow.
And it's a fascinating, it's kind of cool to do because you see how things change and you see where everyone's like, oh, Connery was the best Bond. And you're like, yeah, not in Diamonds Are Forever, you know, where he was just doing it for charity and overstepping his time and everything. And one of the movies that Bond fans absolutely love is On Her Majesty's Secret Service, which stars George Lazenby, who is a lousy Bond. Mm-hmm. And I'll go to the death. He's a lousy Bond. He was terrible. But the fans really, really like it because he falls in love in the movie and gets married and then his wife gets killed. Oh, did I give it away? But that's like the
spoiler
big
spoiler alert on spoiler, this 30, 40-year-old movie.
This movie came out in the 60s. And even though it was a terrible movie, it had Telly Savalas as Blofeld, and it was Bond just having sex with everybody, and then suddenly be like, I choose you. But people loved it because it showed a sensitive side of Bond. It showed Bond, and then it got to him personally. And that's what happens in Casino Royale, and it all spills over into Quantum of Solace. Plus... Mm-hmm. Olga Korolenko's in this.
And she, Gemma Arterton, who no one's seeing in the previews, is
Olga Korolenko is so ridiculously hot, it melded my pants.
Wow, nice.
You can't see it.
I'm excited. I'm really genuinely...
My pants melted, seriously.
You know, it was funny because I got to watch Iron Man again last night because it came on Blu-ray. And I get such a greater appreciation for Iron Man because I feel like everything so far this year is really just being kind of like pushed aside by The Dark Knight.
You're so just still justifying Iron Man.
Oh, no,
after
dude.
This.
You have
we're
no
not
idea.
Watching it.
It was great. We're going to watch it right now.
No, we're not.
But,
unless you got
but I really feel like
DVD
Bond is that upper echelon type of film that I didn't think the rest of the year was going to hold after seeing The Dark Knight.
And who's directing it?
Mark Forster, who did.
He's a good director, though.
He did some other movies.
Well, he did Stranger Than Fiction,
and he just did The Kite Runner.
He did The Kite Runner, and he did Monsters Ball, and he did Finding Neverland. He's a fabulous director, but he hasn't really gone into the action movie.
Right. It's you know who he reminds me of in that sense, like Jon Favreau, because Jon Favreau did Zathura.
Well, Zathura was an adventure. It was action.
But it was more of a kind of...
It was a
kid's movie. And Zathura and Elf and Maid. And then he did Iron Man and it just worked. Yeah. You know, because it's, you just, you can see that Mark Forster has done all kinds, because he's done, you know, the international drama with The Kite Runner and,
well, all Strange of his of movies were,
his
were
dark comedy.
Well, all of his movies are very, I guess for lack of a better term, very artsy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he really hasn't moved out of the, and he suddenly does this very mainstream movie.
Right.
It kind of reminds me of the people who, the guys, the, you know, like Alphonse Cuarón, who did,
when he did
the Harry Potter, all these Harry Potter directors, David Yates, and these people who've done other movies, they're competent filmmakers, but they really didn't have a,
right.
They were well tapped to do the big budget.
Or similar, like Christopher Nolan, who did like Memento, and then all of a sudden does Batman, you know? And we look how that turned out. So, so I'm very excited about the James Bond movie.
Okay.
All right. Cool. That's all I have to say about it. And when we come back, we're going to wrap you up. How's that sound?
Anyone offended yet?
Now we're wrapping you up here on Fat Guys of the Movies. Another show almost in the can. I say in the can because that's literally where our shows generally go.
Well, especially after that last internet-only segment. We had for those who didn't hear...
We had a birthday party for Kevin.
We had a birthday party for me. But we also had an email from somebody who claimed that they had not been offended, so we tried to.
Yep, so we worked very hard for that. And now we're going to work very hard to do our world-famous DVD roundup.
Yes, it's world-famous in Ohio.
It's world-famous everywhere.
It's world-famous in the magical studio in the sky.
Yeah, we're kings in our kingdom here.
Sort of.
So, anyways, we got some DVD picks this week.
Wait, you got to say what it is. I missed the world famous
DVD roundup. God, you're killing me today.
I'm sorry.
Anyways, what's your pick? I actually like your pick.
Yes.
I will say that.
It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia season 3.
Hilarious.
Hilarious movie. It's a hilarious show.
Yes.
About awful, awful people.
I have to say, I got a chance to see the second episode of the upcoming season this week. The fine folks at FX are now sending me TV shows ahead of time.
Well, that's kind of cool.
But it's ridiculous. The title of the episode is The Gang Takes on the Gas Crisis.
Ooh.
And I will just say that it starts with Charlie coming up with the idea that they should fill garbage cans full of gasoline
and put them
in a van.
That is awesome.
And then try and sell them on the street.
Would this have anything, have any similarities to the episode called Frank Sets Sweet D on Fire?
Yes. Enough similarities.
This is what I love about It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. It always seemed that every decade there's a just show about terrible people that connects with an audience. In the 70s, you had Archie Bunker, you know, the bigot racist who everyone loved watching.
Right.
The 80s, you had Married with Children. In the 90s, you had Seinfeld. This is the 2000s era show of just awful, awful people.
Oh, yes.
And what's so great about it, and there's an art to it, because one of the shows I'm watching right now on DVD is Dirty Sexy Money. Have you ever seen it?
No.
Dirty Sexy Money is about this family that's super wealthy and this guy becomes their lawyer. The whole thing is they're all horrible people, but they're trying to make them sympathetic and they're trying to make them grow. And it's sort of conflicted because you're like, well, wait, you either make them terrible and then you just love to watch them get in trouble.
Right.
Or you make them sympathetic and you root for them. And in Philadelphia, they just make them the worst possible people. And as long as they just don't die,
right.
You know, if they're just getting addicted to crack, that's okay.
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
So that's awesome.
So speaking of crack, I don't know if this has any relevance.
I think
but my pick,
somebody's crack was in.
My pick is The Big Lebowski, the 10th anniversary edition. There is an edition that came out that Universal was kind enough to send to us that is a bowling ball, and that's about the coolest thing I've got.
You could care less. You think
collection.
The movie's terrible.
I love the movie.
The fact you got a bowling ball.
I don't even care if there's. It could just be the movie.
You're the guy
and
who
that's
like
awesome.
If any DVD comes with a deck of playing cards.
Oh yeah, 21. I got that.
Yeah.
Smoking Aces.
Ocean's 13.
Yeah, got all of those. So, and our stinker of the week is starring Kevin Carr.
Yeah, Heckler. Jamie Kennedy's movie Heckler, directed by Michael Addis. And this is why
literally is starring Kevin Carr. You guys,
I'm literally in the movie.
I'm lying.
I was interviewed by Jamie for this, but this is why I'm putting it on the stinker list, because Michael, the director, sent me a couple emails saying, "Hey, we're showing it." They showed it at like Tribeca last year, and they showed it at Toronto. Mm-hmm. And he says, "Hey, if you're going to be at the, come see the screening." And I wrote back to him several times. I'm like, "I'm just not going to the film festivals. Can you send me a DVD? I'll be happy to review it. I mean, it'll be funny because I'm in the movie." They have yet to send me a DVD of it.
Right.
And I'm like, okay, what are they hiding at this point? And I do have word from another local film critic in Columbus, Melissa Starker, who saw it in Tribeca.
Yeah.
And she said, well, yeah, Jamie kind of makes you look bad, but he doesn't make you look nearly as bad as he makes himself look bad.
Oh, yeah. So I'm sure.
Have you seen it?
No.
It wasn't at Sundance?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Nope. They bring real movies to Sundance. But I am going to put it in my Netflix queue because...
Really?
I'm
not watching it until they send me a copy.
Faux show. So
I'm just going to routinely trash it around the country.
Know what? I don't think that it needs to be trashed at this point. I don't know if anyone even knows that it exists other than the fact that you're in it and we keep talking about it.
Yes.
Otherwise, we would not be mentioning this movie.
That's true.
So there you go.
Uwe Boll's in it, too.
Sweet. You share. I actually was looking at the cover just now, and it's like it's Bill Maher and Nick Swardson and Joe Rogan. And I was like, Kevin shared the screen with all of these people.
Well, it's funny.
Not
like
directly,
Nick,
but
Nick Swardson, I think, is hilarious, but he's hardly the person you put on a cover box.
Right.
He has George Lucas. George Lucas is in the movie.
Oh, sweet.
Put George Lucas's ugly mug on that.
I agree.
That's what I say.
And the
neck beard?
His neck.
You are...
It's crazy.
Yeah, his neck is like Jay Leno's chin.
It is. It's a very famous neck. So, anyways, moving on. Review wrap-up time. Fair enough. We've got The Women, which
suck.
Preemptively... No, it doesn't preemptively suck. We just think it sucks because
using deductive reasoning to say it
fair
sucks.
Enough. The Family That Prays, though, that preemptively sucks because we didn't get to see it.
Sucks.
Righteous Kill, I said, kind of sucks.
Kind of rocks.
And Burn After Reading...
Kind of rocks.
I said kind of rocks because that's kind of cool.
Yeah. But for totally different reasons.
For totally different reasons. Next week, we've got all kinds of fun, more fun stuff. Our favorite actor of all time, Dane Cook, is in a movie called My Best Friend's Girl. And if it doesn't have Peter Dinklage in it, we're not seeing it.
Well, it's not going to be screened because it's Lionsgate.
There's that reason, too.
I'm pretty much sure this is going to suck.
We've also got Lakeview Terrace with Samuel L. Jackson.
And Kerry Washington, who's totally
hot. And the guy who looks like Cole Hauser but isn't, Patrick Wilson.
Yeah.
And Appaloosa, which is limited release next week. I don't know if
we may or may not
it.
Get that.
Yep. And then Igor, the animated John Cusack movie. We're not going to see that one.
No.
And Ghost Town with Ricky Gervais, who's always funny. So in the meantime, if you'd like to get a hold of us, fatguysthemovies.com or send us an email, fatguysatfilmschoolrejects.com. That's all.
Greenies, couch potatoes across the country, around the world, and on the internet. I'm Kevin Carr.
And I'm Neil Miller, and this is Bloated Radio.